If you want to get some cabbage, you got to show some abbage. What's up? It's week 3 of the off-center experiment. I bet you're all very excited for that. And we are joined by Triple J's David Woodhead for this week's episode of...
Well, we'll just tell your mother that we ate it all.
But don't...
To start the episode, I do want to...
Well, go. We're recording.
Yeah, I would like to address this. I did a tweet. And it was because everyone's talking about second wave of coronavirus or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to relate the third wave of coronavirus to ska, the genre, and I got a reply. I got a reply from Aaron Gox saying "Mighty Mighty Boss Rona."
Yeah.
A reply from Jared Jekyll saying, "Ooh, this is the best."
Yeah.
And then I got a reply from Andrew Hastings.
Yeah.
That said,
I don't tweet at you much.
Yeah, I know. And it said, "Every time you make a joke I like, my therapist has to hear all about it."
Yeah, that's true. It's a little factoid.
Now, give us some context.
So you must be talking to your therapist about me all the time.
I was making a Twitter joke. I don't actually do that,
no,
James.
No, you weren't.
Yeah. I think there is.
I don't enjoy Rose succeeding at things.
I think we all know that. Yeah.
I like it better when Rose
David
fails.
David Woodhead's just chucked me a like for that. Cheers, we appreciate that. This tweet has gone much better than I thought it would.
Who's someone whose success you do enjoy?
Yeah.
You can't say Andrew Hastings.
There can't be anyone.
In earnest, all my friends. I love it when all of them succeed so much. It makes
you
me
just
so happy.
Said you didn't like when Rose did.
No, I think what we're finding out now is that he doesn't consider me a friend.
Look, there's...
Knight to Rook 4?
Yeah.
Look, there's two wolves inside every man.
That's what I think.
Yeah, there's two wolves inside every man. I can be happy for someone and,
you've got a big boog on.
I know, I'm trying to pick it off.
Yeah, there we go.
Do not flick that into my apartment. Oh, yuck.
I know.
I need to get you a tissue.
It's on the index and the root finger.
Damn, you better flick
big one.
Don't rub
Damn,
that.
You better flick that bad boy.
I'm putting it on my beer. It's on my beer.
I'm
going to
get you a tissue.
All right, give me a tissue.
Get you a tissue.
Yeah, all right.
An abundance of tissues in this house.
Flick that bad boy.
Thank you.
Even now, you want to start throwing boogers in places?
Yeah, give me that tissue, bitch.
Yeah, you lack in me the tissue, don't you?
Yeah, we've replaced a trans woman with a POC now, so...
Yeah, we're fine.
We've got Dave.
I'm allowed to call Rose a bitch now.
Yeah. Well, is this going to be a whole thing? I thought I was just coming up for one episode.
It's a cum tissue.
You're now...
Oh, no.
No, that joke would make more sense if I still actually produced any ejaculate.
All right.
Do you not?
Which I don't. No, not really.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, don't really.
So you're like me and Hastings at 11.
Yeah, genuinely, it's like going back to like the first time you come, where just like nothing comes out.
I was jacking off wet at 11, dude. I was coming at 11.
You weren't getting wet at 11.
There was like a few drops of semen
that's
at 11.
Foam. That doesn't count.
It wasn't foam. It was liquid.
Foam,
at 12, I was producing full ropes.
Oh, I was fucking shooting ropes at 12.
Yeah.
It was at 11. I was
fucking knocking a bitch out.
I reckon I'd only come about 3 times before.
I reckon I've only truly come about 3 times.
Okay.
Certainly me.
Yeah.
Hello, we've... Okay, I think this is new housemate's first time experiencing this.
Oh, damn.
So, welcome back.
Hi, how are you?
We've just started.
We're 3 minutes in. I've said like 9 hilarious jokes.
That's not accurate.
Everyone else is doing nothing but bomb.
It's not.
We could
not
cut
accurate
your mic.
At all. Yeah, we could.
I'm
and we should.
Part of the podcast.
Please
just
don't cut.
Just here for the beers.
Jamie, please don't. Please don't cut my mic, Jamie.
Just like to be known.
We could just do this. Hold on.
Just like to be known that my housemate's partner just complimented my comedy.
Hold on. Keep talking.
Well, I'm not going
to
work.
To me.
You can just do that to you.
Yeah.
Nah, you're back now, dude.
All right, good. Man, if people start cutting my mics on pods, I might just have to finally
but
do it.
But in case you need, Dave, is
go to comedy in Brisbane.
So is there a structure to this, or is this it?
Not really.
Oh, not a great deal, yeah.
Maybe we try to talk over each other less. And I'm talking mostly to myself here.
No.
Yeah, well, look, we've been at the pub. You haven't.
This could be one of our favorite drunk podcasts.
Oh, God, I'm dead sober.
No, you're not.
Well, you've just been sipping out of a beer.
That's true. I also had 3 cones before I came here.
That's what I was referring to.
Yeah.
Woo!
No, but that's the Hastings of I'm completely sober.
I literally can't.
I got a great Hastings story for you, actually.
Okay.
We were fucking giving shit to him the other week. It's just like, Hastings is like...
No.
Obviously, we know Hastings has a bit of a marijuana... problem.
Yeah.
Do you partake in the...
I don't. I actually, I used to smoke a lot of weed like 17, 18. But yeah. Got a bit of the old anxiety from it. Anyone heard of this? Pretty cool.
I assume Triple J are pretty drug test like.
They do not condone any drug use.
Nah, mate. Every time Richard Kingsmill puts a song on, he is just pulling cones in the studio. Mate,
I am not... commenting.
No. Just say no. Anyway, here's the new Dune Rat single.
Now, one thing has always been
red
funny.
Light, green light. Yeah, green light to fucking pull more fucking bongs.
Green right, some green right here. Now, one thing that's always funny about Triple J is like you know, we have to have language warnings when we have songs with...
swears.
And it's not even just swears because there's hard... It's more... It's not even like a language warning. It's more of an explicit warning. Because if you say like fuck in a song... But it's more like, oh, I fucking love you. It's kind of like more of like a poppy thing. Then it's
yeah.
Like, that's fine. Like, you don't need to give language warning. But if it's like a song going like, I want to fuck you. And like,
yeah.
I love right. you, fuck me.
Yeah.
Or like, I love
something. Or just like really, like no swears, but really explicitly sexual or something.
Yeah.
Like, so but my then, mixtape's not getting on.
No,
it's
no.
your way to tell me,
no,
Dave.
No, well, it could. But
I mean, you can upload anything onto
the,
on Earth.
The swears aren't the issue, Hastings. It's just the content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a terrible mix.
Too sexy.
Yeah, stop sending it to me.
That's what everyone keeps saying about your stand-up as well. The swearing is not the issue.
Dave, I will never stop drunkenly sending you front-facing videos. Drunkenly at 2 a.m. of me freestyling. I'm not going to stop doing that.
It's funny that as well.
The day I stop doing that's the day I stop living.
It's right? all it's just that... backseat freestyle.
It's funny as well that you think freestyling.
Hastings had a dream.
I think it's funny that Hastings thinks freestyling is just singing all day songs. That's what freestyling is, isn't it?
All my life I want spots and power. Respect my mind.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
Kendrick Lamar's an open mic comic is pretty funny.
Oh man.
Look, have you noticed that if you just
I got too excited about it. I fucked it. Have you say bitch don't kill this vibe.
Right, right.
Comedy. Saturday night.
Have you noticed if you fill up a pool, then you should dive in it?
Drank.
Yeah, like, they're trying to do the like the catchphrase kind of thing. Drank.
Drank.
That's hilarious.
Know, I got a bone to pick. Monkey mouth motherfuckers.
Like leaning on the stand. We're going to be all right. we're going to be all right.
I am mad. But
you know,
Real friends. One question.
The other day.
Hey, sit down.
You know, the other day I got a DNA test loyalty and royalty inside my DNA. I got cocaine and this is not doing too well.
Starts reading out Drake lyrics. Oh man.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, I got a Hastings story.
So what's this podcast about?
Jamie telling Hastings stories.
I'll tell the Hastings story and then we can get
straight into it. Largely it's an anthropological study of Hastings' life.
It's mostly that like Hastings was fucking talking about, we were like talking about his like prolonged weed use.
Yes.
And we were talking specifically about like when we got up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And because like my wife's a teacher, she gets up
right. Hastings is going, morning?
I have a job.
Well,
but to be fair,
know.
When you didn't have a job, you were rising at like 2 p.m.
Man, it was so good.
So like, we were talking
not
about
last
like
time. Time before that. I was last time. I was a bit more sensible.
We were talking about like when my wife gets up and like I don't get much up, like up much later. And Hastings was saying that like he gets up like 5 to 6 hours later than that anyway. But like when he does that, he'll look at the clock. And
wait, does what?
When you get up at like, say, like
or
eight.
Wake up.
When you wake
at a regular
up,
time.
Yeah, when you wake up at 8 or 9,
yeah.
That he looks at the clock and he's so impressed that he gives himself a little cone to reward himself and then goes back to sleep for 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah.
I think my wife's eyes popped out of her skull at that point.
Yeah. If I don't have to be up before, like, let's say if I don't have to be up before, like, 12...
Yeah.
I'll if I'm up before 10, then yeah, I'll you know have a little sleepy time.
I kind of have that as one. I don't have the drug use in it. But
all right, dude, we get it.
I will set like an alarm at like 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, and I'll get up at 7:30 and I'll go, whoa, I can have another half an hour. And yeah. Keep just have like kind of go back to sleep, get up at 8, get back to sleep, go.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm supposed to get to work technically at 9:30.
But be like, I'm not on air until 12.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you should be there at 9:30, but you don't really need to be there till 12.
You're like, oh, you shouldn't have said that.
Hated and discriminated against.
I've
been protesting and demonstrated again. Pick a time for my wicked rhymes. Look at the time.
That's going to come out so smooth in the edit.
I love, there's a couple of lines of the Eminem show that I love. That one's like, pick up the line. Pick a time for my wicked rhymes. Look at the time. And then
that's one of my least favorite songs on that album, I reckon. Yeah.
Least favorite?
Yeah, I don't like that one. That much. Yeah.
My least favorite is Till I Collapse, because the opening when he goes...
Till I Collapse fucking rules.
No. When he goes, Till I Collapse, I'm spilling these raps. Shut the fuck up, bro. I don't...
The Eminem show's a great
album.
It's
a
fantastic album.
My Dad's Gone Crazy might be my favorite on there. That's a great song.
My Dad's Gone Crazy is sick.
Square Dance.
Underrated, I think. Haley's song.
Ugh.
He feels like fucking singing. He's going to sing.
Nah, I hate that. I like it better when he's wacky.
Let me check the track listing, but the one...
just on the point of Haley's song, I like when he goes... when he starts rapping again. Man, what does he say? He goes like, man, I'd keep singing as long as... I'd blow stomach as long as my father. Like,
yeah.
Really get that? If I could keep singing, I'd keep singing the songs to my daughter. If I could hit the nicest picture perfect... Blow notes as long as my father.
Yeah.
Yeah, when the music stops, that song. When the music stops, that song fucking rules.
Yeah, when the music stops rules.
Because it's got D12 on it. Say What You Say is also great.
And we're...
Man, there's a lot of songs that probably like... I mean, like Drips and Superman are both like a fucking vile blast of misogyny.
Superman is vile, though.
Yeah.
It's like, rules. Like,
one of my like best woman friends who lives in Melbourne now, like, just will go ham on that at karaoke.
Oh, I could blaze that to you at karaoke.
But you know the problem is, like, the problem with Superman... I mean, well, like, you know, because it's so, like...
Insanely
crazy
misogynist.
But, like... That hook is just catchy.
It's
really no one thing though.
It's like such a good song. Right?
You know the crazy thing? Drake has put out a new album new mixtape.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the songs is Chicago Freestyle.
Mm.
He interpolates that chorus. I don't know if that's the right word. Interpolate? Is that interpolate?
I've never heard that word before.
Interpolate. Yeah.
What does it mean?
It just means that he kind of does it. Like he uses it, not a sample.
Reinterprets.
Is it like when people do hip hop songs of like their covers, but they change the lyrics?
Not really. It's
Megan
kind of like,
Thee Stallion is kind of doing it at the moment. She's doing "Girls in the Hood."
Yeah.
Like reappropriating the whole really misogynist thing and being like,
I'm picturing like Rumor doing Rascal Flatts. Because that's like a specific type of thing that
there's
not.
So pretty much in the Drake one. So his song called Chicago Freestyle. What the hook is? He just takes a hook.
Yeah,
he goes, I do know one thing though.
Yeah,
it's about bitches because it's straight. He goes, women, they come, they go. He goes, maybe I'll love you one day. Maybe I'll one day grow. Till then, I'll sit my drunk ass on that runway.
Yeah. He's doing the sensitive Drake thing.
He does the Drake thing.
But then he was going to say, maybe they'll one day grow.
Yeah,
in reference to them getting turning maybe 13, 14.
Yeah. Maybe one day Millie Bobby Brown will be
Hey,
not
girl
a minor.
From Stranger Things, you want to see my ting?
That's very funny.
It's like an alien in a wall. You're going to suck my balls.
Drake is just like a millimeter away from being cancelled at all times.
He's been cancelled.
Yeah, but he lives in like a fucking solid gold house.
Yeah,
he
like, try cancelling.
Really, the strangest thing is how much he... Love these girls. You know?
I don't know if I've ever told
you. I bet Drake will fucking, like, if Drake gets cancelled for, like, going after underage girls, there will be, like, a 5-year period where people, like, make fun of Drake. And then his sad album about how he feels bad about it.
It'll have a huge banger on it.
We'll get an 8.6 on Pitchfork.
I agree with you, but this whole process will take 6 weeks.
Yeah, probably.
That's seriously how cancel, he's gotten away with culture. It. He's just like, he does some fucking average stuff, but then he'll just put out, it's like ripping banger.
I think Drake has a much better output than people think. He does.
I'm a huge Drake fan. But
Take Care of Nothing was the same.
Have I ever told the story of when I saw Drake live?
I've seen Drake live too.
I went to his show.
All right, we get it. You guys have stuff in common.
Yeah, but I went to see him. It was
just
like,
try to give the audience a bit.
It was
of
just
a,
one of the
can
funniest
we start
like
best friends cast.
It was just one of the funniest things of just like an overseas celebrity like trying to do like a good thing for Australia, but just getting it kind of wrong. Was like he came out like wearing like the big like fucking Lakers like jock jacket or whatever. And then at one point, like, goes backstage for a second. The DJ is just kind of spinning a beat or whatever. And then he comes back out, and he was wearing a Wallabies jersey. I'm like, oh, you just got it a bit wrong.
Was that
like,
the Sydney Showground? Olympic Park?
Yeah. Yes. Not in the big one, though.
But that had the moment where, like, he went on, like, the elevator platform.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, I was there.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I was there.
I've actually, I got a funny story. Because this is the Boy Meets World Tour, which was 2018.
No, this was earlier than that.
Well, it would have been like maybe 2016.
When he came,
yeah, probably.
If I were in Degrassi, I wouldn't name a tour after a different childhood sitcom.
Are you going to call it the Degrassi tour? Yeah, like,
exactly.
That'd be weird.
Like, if
Say it by the bell.
Yeah. Like, yeah, if a guy, if a kid from Neighbours became a huge international pop star, they wouldn't do a tour called Home and Away.
Like, it'd be like a funny thing.
It'd be funny, like the Drake tour, Smoke of the Degrassi.
Yeah, yeah. The difference between you and Drake is Drake's like, Tim's embarrassed and isn't trying to be funny about that.
So it's like, didn't Screech from...
Also, play to someone in a wheelchair. Cancelled.
Screech from... Cancelled. Screech from Saved by the Bell did Diamond. Like a porno where he did like...
Yeah, he was trying to like save his... Like, he was trying to make money.
But like what the name of it was like related to it. And it's crazy that you just wouldn't
probably
call
like
it...
Saved by the Balls or something.
Well,
like
I was
going
to say, why wouldn't you just call it Saved by the Bell End?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But that'd be more British.
Yeah,
Saved
like,
by the Bell End.
Suck my bollocks. I'm a Screech.
Have you ever seen that?
Why's he British? American sitcom?
Yeah, I don't know. Doing a tour, baby.
I hate to like relate this to Cumtown or whatever, but like Stav did the funniest tweet once, which was just like, I was watching a British porno and the guy said, suck those hairy bollocks. Yeah. And I laughed so hard that I forgot I was jerking off and started watching Monty Python instead.
I love to relate it to Cumtown. Let's just go around and do our best Cumtown.
That's the best bit. Let's move on. Yeah, let's absolutely not do that.
What about your story about Drake?
Spoke about Anthrax on Tampaxes.
Oh, with Superman. Eminem. Yeah.
Mm.
Anyway, tell your Drake story.
Very violent.
Oh, yeah, so Now I'm thinking about Eminem. So when I saw Drake, he had this one bit where he would he turned all the lights on. And he goes, "I want this to feel real. I want to see you. Like this is real."
It's so contrived.
Oh, man, that rules.
And the lights come on, and like he's pointing at people. It's like, "I see you in the green t-shirt." Like,
that's what he was doing on our one, but he was on this like it was almost this like elevated swing thing going over because he looked down at one point and he's like, "You with the deep eyes," which was a very weird thing to say. And then he said like this other thing where he was very clearly like gonna like say something quite crude, like huge tits or something like that. And he's like, big hair.
I really wanted to. I wanted Drake to notice me.
Oh fuck yeah! And so, you could be noticed.
Well,
you got
what happened was I was going because I knew that Drake is a man of respect.
Mm.
So I started like saluting him because I thought, oh, if I salute him, he'd be. But he was looking like over there, like he wasn't looking at me yet. So I just kept saluting him. And it started to look weird. Like,
oh, you're doing the Hitler,
a Nazi,
and I
was like, no, I'm indigenous. What? Because fucking Drake is Jewish as well, so, and oh, you know, before you go into, it's like, hey, be careful going to Australia. Everyone there is racist.
Mm. And he's got a room full of white people screaming the N-word back at him,
and he just sees me, this big fucking fucking cunt doing the.
Doing the sick
doing
aisle.
The thing, and then, but when
you're like, no, he loves respect.
That's your explaining.
No, I respect. Well, I'm like,
to the Jewish Defamation League.
You've got two swastikas on you.
While I'm getting arrested. No, I respect him. But then, like when he finally got to me, I switched up and I threw up.
Yeah, cool.
Okay.
The OK symbol.
No, okay. No.
I've got something to talk about.
Okay, so. It's the OK symbol, which is now
a white power symbol.
This is going to sound very bad, but I did both of them.
Mm.
Well, what that actually means in Drake World is the six. Yeah. Toronto.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
where he's from.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
So then like he saw me and he said, and I see you, big dog, throwing up them sixes. So Drake noticed me.
Fuck, I got two stories based on that.
Man, that's pretty lucky.
Yeah.
Like, it was very like...
Because otherwise it'd be like, local man makes white power symbols throughout rap concert. It's like, all right, well, he's not getting the salutes. I'm going to throw up the WPs.
I have two stories based on that. The first one is when we went and saw Blink-182 when we were in year eight or whatever, my friend Mark at the time
Hoppus.
Had like... We do talk about my friend Mark Hoppus within this story. Yeah. He has a speaking role. His name's Mark Houston. But he had like a big afro, which like didn't look too dissimilar to what Dave's hair looks like now. But at one point, like, they were never going to play requests, but at one point they were just going like, what does everyone want to hear? And then like, cause like Mark's afro was like so distinctive, Mark Hoppus just pointed him in the eye and goes like, what song does that guy want to hear? And he just like screamed out like, Adam's song or whatever, because he didn't know what to say and they didn't play it, but then you would see Mark just like head nearly exploded from just like, my life's not going to get any better than this.
Yeah.
Mark Hoppus just looked me in the eye as a 14-year-old.
Fuck yeah.
The other story based on that thing, right, is I'm seeing a girl at the moment and she has a tattoo on the back of her right arm, like the upper arm or whatever, which is a little circle with a hand doing the like A-OK.
Wait, did you say she has a tattoo of that symbol on her right arm, did you say?
See, I think that makes it funnier.
On her right arm. But yeah, I fucked her.
No.
Yes.
You were so giddy with that. You were like,
I'm in a good mood today.
But she has that tattoo.
Three cones.
She has that tattoo. Her housemate and like best mate also has that tattoo. They got it as like matching best friends things, because that's always been their thing. It's just like, hey, everything's A-okay with me or whatever. But then like, because that was like a couple of years ago or whatever. And at that time, like, it wasn't really known to be like this alt-right symbol. But she's like, since then, like, a few people have come up and been like, what's the deal with your tattoo?
John Cena fan.
And has had to like explain it. And she's like, her new rule now is if like within the next year, she new has rule. 10 people ask her if it's a white power symbol, then she's going to get it removed. And she's up to 6.
I genuinely think she should
get an embellish.
She should tell people it's a John Cena tattoo. Though a lot of people on the internet now are saying, like, tattoo artists have seen her saying they'll do free cover-ups for like hate stuff. Yeah,
but the problem is like it was never a hate thing.
Yeah,
it just looks like a
hate
thing.
I only realized it was a hate thing because like someone on Twitter like did, you know, like the game.
But the problem as well is,
but you know, the thing where you put it down low and
like, yeah.
If someone sees you get to hit him in the dick. Someone's like, yeah, this racist now. And I was like, what? Wait.
Yeah.
Oh, that thing. Yeah.
No. Wasn't
stop
looking.
It was never in the dick for us. It was just in the arm.
Oh, it was always a dick.
I had
they had to give me a hand job.
We had six fish.
You got to suck me off now.
You saw the circle. Now you got to gurgle.
Did you guys have six fish?
No, it was six fish.
It was like if you farted, you had to say safe, because if you didn't say safe,
oh, we did have that.
Then someone could say six fish, and they just punch you in the arm until you named six fish. And to
salmon,
like
trout, tuna, yeah, just doing that.
Oh, and it's so much harder to think of six fish while someone's belting you in the arm. That's but
damn,
like
we should bring that back in comedy.
But I got so conditioned by that like I was still saying safe after I farted for like 2 years after it stopped being a thing.
Yeah,
because I was just like, someone's gonna start hitting me.
With that white power hand gesture thing, I have to use it all the time at work, and it's kind of funny. It's like a lot of
language barrier.
I'm dealing with like language barrier stuff all day.
Yeah,
and a lot of conversations.
And you do it to signify that you're more powerful.
So absolutely,
because
no,
these people are not of the white race.
Yeah. Well, no.
It's
so
I need to show them who's what.
He comes in. He like does a look me in the eye. Huh? Like, okay.
They come around and they're like, you are doing it, but you don't need to.
So, because it's like, I'm trying to get through these, like, at times kind of complicated, like, conversations with people who don't speak English particularly well. It's, there's a lot of, like, particularly at the end of the conversation, there's a lot of, like, cool, are we all good? Are we all okay? Are you happy? is this conversation done sort of thing. And the kids, it's like mostly Chinese kids, they would like do the like A-OK symbol at me. And then after a while, I just started to realize like they got it much quicker. They recognize that fast and they recognize like a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Like I was always using thumbs ups. And so now I'm doing it 10 times a day. And every time, like, they're just always like, oh, cool, yep, get it, like, whatever. And it's, like, functional. And every single time, I'm like, fuck, I hope no one saw that.
Can I just Windows. Can I just do this as an ode to our guest? Triple J.
Except it squeaked on the way up.
That's yeah, because I started it too early.
Damn. Man, you guys are lit. I love it. I feel like I'm able to outsmart you all now because you're all drinking.
Because we be drinking. I mean, I don't know. I'm not even buzzed.
Should we start?
Should we get into this fucking thing?
Yeah.
Okay, welcome to We'll Just Tell Your Mother We Ate It All, the podcast about teen sex comedies and things thereabouts and things very much not thereabouts. We are in the middle of our special arc where we watch every episode of the failed sitcom off-center, three episodes at a time. This week we are doing episode 7, Swing Me Swing Time, episode 8, Money or Brother Can You Spare a Ski Trip, and episode 9, Marathon Man. I am Rosie Piper.
I am Jamie Keck.
I'm Andrew Hastings.
And we're joined by a very special guest, Triple J's David Woodhead. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm pretty cool. How are y'all?
Interesting that you.
Are we doing the whole? Are we doing every episode
cool?
or just season one?
No, we're doing every episode. There's only
season two is like cut.
I just asked how you all are, and you completely.
Sorry, oh, see, I need to clear up some admin.
Also, what happens on every episode of this is we introduce the podcast, and then we keep talking about bullshit for about 10 more minutes before we actually start talking about.
Speaking
the thing.
Of my work, I was
oh
doing
god,
work
see,
today.
This is what happens. Yeah,
and
I'm,
very,
I'm good, thank you.
A very trendy, fashionable, like teenage boy told me he liked my new shoes, and I've been in such a good mood ever since.
Oh, now you're gonna be like, oh, I'm playing again.
No, he's a child. Fuck
that. All right.
Also, yeah. Maybe I am. Fuck. Like, I wasn't trying to fuck that kid, but like. No,
should
yeah.
I
got
should I read the plot synopses for these episodes?
The tone you
okay.
said talked about me being attracted to men in.
Shut up, bitch.
Because it's a long running bit on the podcast. Bi erasure is bad, and I support my bi friends.
It's not a bit I started.
I'm seeing a bi person at the moment. Okay, so episode 7, the plot synopsis here. Mike's parents come to New York for a visit, giving Mike a chance to bond with his estranged father. Things start working out until Ewan catches Mr. Platt. Here we find out that Mike's surname is Platt, with another woman. Episode 8, we have Mike takes on a second job at Chow's restaurant to solve his money problems. When Ewan offers to help Mike out, Mike refuses. So Ewan pretends to get Mike a job at his firm when in reality Ewan is the one paying him. And then episode 9, Ewan is the subject of a hot rumor at work after a co-worker tells others that Ewan is gay. Mike is thrilled to meet Liz's unimpressive ex-boyfriend.
Dave, you'd never heard of the sitcom before we
never
brought you
heard
on here.
And you did have an interesting take when you turned up to the pub earlier.
Okay, yeah. So, here's the thing. So, when y'all asked me to be on this podcast, you know, Rosie says, so we have to watch something for him when we're watching these episodes.
Yeah.
And Rosie, you know, sent through the three episodes and she said, well, just so you are fully aware, this is a terrible, terrible podcast. Sorry, not podcast.
I said that.
No, she said it.
That later.
Yeah.
She said shut up. He's about to say if he said anything about me specifically.
No, she said it. It's
a terrible, terrible co-host.
It's a terrible, terrible show.
Yeah.
So I was ready, like when I watched the first episode, I was ready to go. Oh yeah, this shit sucks. Mm. The first episode that the swingers one did suck, but as I got through more of it, I was like, oh, it's just kind of an average sitcom.
You got Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, it's actually. Yeah. I didn't think it was horrible.
That's kind of what's happened to me too.
So you like? All right,
I'm fully on board now. I actually like.
Yeah, of course you do.
I think it's no worse. Entertaining. I think it's no worse than any other dog shit sitcom.
Yeah, and one thing I can't.
Oh, I mean, like I'd rather watch this than Big Bang Theory. Or something.
I'd rather watch Big Bang Theory. But I can talk about that later. If we want, I have a specific point comparing it to Big Bang Theory.
I kind of like one thing was I found, and they only did one joke about it, but I kind of thought it'd be more interesting if they explored it more. Was because it was like 2001, so it was like post 9/11. So in the first episode that...
Oh, this did start after 9/11.
And so one
like
thing,
a month later or
one,
something.
One joke they have in the first episode. Mm. So the side character, I don't remember his name.
Status Quo.
So Status Quo is like having MTV Cribs join.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's... and then Chow, is his name Chow?
Yeah.
Chow, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Played by the...
John Cho.
Yeah. So Chow goes, like they're at a bar and they're talking to women. He's pretending to be the Cribs
director.
And he says, also, I've told these women that MTV wants nudity now to bring all Americans closer considering the world we live in.
Oh, I didn't even pick up on that.
But then it's like, which is a
good catch, Dave.
It wasn't an amazing joke, but I was just thought, that's kind of that. You know what? That's the show that they missed of like young dudes living in a post 9/11 Manhattan.
I didn't even pick up on that. And I hadn't even thought about how closely this came out. Post 9/11. Yeah. It's like a month later.
Well, I think it actually, like, it would have been filmed maybe then. I think it came out in 2002. Did we check that? Like, when it first aired?
Yeah, probably.
Like, 9/11 did such a fucking job on America. Like, it did such a... like fucked up their psyche forever. Like,
yeah,
it's such an interest... Like, it is such an opportunity for
The first episode aired 14th of October.
Jesus.
So yeah, that's what I mean. Like, a month later.
So, they would have been filmed while the tower still stood. I bet you those were quickly edited out of the opening credits.
Of course.
Well, that would have been a fucking late edit.
Oh, like, yeah. And
the towers are there. The towers are there.
This theme song, I think, is just...
Speak your piece.
Fucking garbage. Like, that's how I thought.
I like it. I'm on board.
So I don't like it, but I like the guy who sings it.
Apparently it's the singer.
I like Tom Pimps.
It's just... But it's also like kind of like, all right, so every like sitcom has a thing of like going like, what's... Like, you know, it's kind of like the theme is supposed to be a little bit of like, this is what the show is about.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's
It sets the tone.
But these guys in the show never need to learn how to be a man. Like, one of them's a successful lawyer. The other one works in charity. Like, they're already defined...
Yeah, they're all doing okay.
Like, there's no reason to fucking really give a shit about where these characters are going.
The thing should be Dan. Like, it should be, I guess, this is growing up.
Yeah, definitely.
That's
true.
That
should be the theme song of every TV show.
Because
they're ultimately all about growing up.
But also, I get what you mean about it, because they sound like, I'm halfway there or whatever. But, like, at least so far, I'm fairly certain during the entire course of the show, there's no character development. Like,
no
one changes. I disagree. The only thing that might change is that, like, Liz and Mike break up.
I disagree.
But, like...
Well, spoilers.
We don't know that.
we don't know that they break up. We think they do.
We theorize.
We haven't watched this since we were, like, 14.
I have two points. One to bring up, like, with the whole group and Woodhead now, because I mentioned it last episode.
Mm-hmm.
But these episodes, like... really drag it home. My theory is that,
I want to see if this is what you're about to say. My first note that I wrote was status was gay theory holding up.
Yeah. So my theory is that originally when they created the show, Status Quo, they wrote him as a gay man.
Yeah.
Because they
but
were
post 9/11, America couldn't
well,
handle
they were like,
it.
It's like there couldn't be a gay rapper.
So, because, like,
there couldn't be.
Because like the cliche of like, oh, we've subverted this black rapper and we've made him like an old white guy. But like, but he's not in the first few episodes. Did you watch any of the other ones?
No,
okay. Of course you didn't. So, like, why the fuck would
minimum.
You?
So the Cribs episode is basically like the first episode he gets a story to himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, but even then it's still not
so
heaps.
That's the seventh episode. It's still not heaps. So my theory was that originally he was written as a gay man and that the network or someone higher up was like, no fucking way. We've got to cut this. So they
we can't give homosexuality that much airtime.
Well, but I mean, when I watched it, I kind of thought...
You kind of thought maybe he was gay.
Well, no. I mean, it's just kind of like the classic, you know, trope of like... Which is so prevalent, I think, in like 2000s. Like, what if rappers weren't hard? What if they were not street? And it's just like... And kind of, I mean, it's like that thing, I don't know, Status Quo was fine, but I just thought, why was he in the show?
Yeah.
Well, you know, like,
that's the thing. A big problem.
He's like their Kramer.
or something.
Yeah, but he's not even ridiculous. But like, he's just not.
Yeah, which is why I think the thing was that, like,
Status gets more airtime later on.
Yeah. But originally, that's the thing. I think, like, so many people in, like, the early 2000s did, like, what if the rapper who, like, talks about shooting bitches actually liked the Pottery Barn?
Yeah.
But, like, it's, like, I think they went further and, like, fully made him gay until they got pushback. So they had to kind of scrap him from the first episodes and, like, bring him back slowly. And then, like, that kind of Cribs episode was them, like, acknowledging
it. Lovely ceviche or whatever, and they're like,
yeah. That's and the a Cribs little episode was them kind of acknowledging it and being like, yeah, dude, like, you're written as a gay guy. Yeah.
So I, but he, okay, so the crazy thing is, like, I haven't watched any of the other episodes.
Yeah.
So how the first episode to me starts is them walking out of the room. I have no idea who any of these characters are.
Yeah.
And the first thing you hear is, like, you know, Status Quo going, like, what's wrong with my room? And they go, dude, it's gay.
Oh, yeah, that's literally the first thing.
That's the first thing. And I'm watching it going, like, you can so tell the time difference because, like, I was just like, all right. So I'm like, oh, it's, you know, I didn't know he was a rapper. So I was like, was like, well, you know, we have Brockhampton, Kevin Abstract, like, you know, Tyler, the Franco. We have gay rap.
Lil Nas X. Who
cares?
Out now,
It's like, who gives a shit? Like, oh, his house is not. But it's like, his house is. It's like, dude, it's too nice. Yeah, he's a rapper. Where do you think? It's like the writers of this thought. Even though you're a rapper and you're rapping about quote unquote the hood.
Yeah.
Now, you still live in the hood when you're rich. Like, I reckon they thought 50 Cent still lives in, like, a shitty house and sells crack.
It's because it's white Jewish guys who've seen the cover of the Marshall Mathers LP. Yeah. It all looks like that.
Yes, Jamie. Make it racial about the racists.
Also, they really missed a trick by not including the thing that was in every episode of MTV Cribs, where they open the door to the bedroom and go, and this? This is where the magic happens.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I say when I take women into my magician studio.
You wearing Docs?
Yeah, dude, I got Docs.
That's a new addition.
And a cool teenager thought they were cool, so made me feel pretty good. He was wearing Yeezys and shit. I was like, hell yeah. He was like, cool shoes, man. And I was like, thanks, brother.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, dude, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This episode is very 2002. Like, the two of the three episodes, a lot of the stuff is like, dude, you're gay.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, definitely.
There's a lot of, like, there's almost a Seinfeldian thing in episode 9 with Gag-Fi. Like, they're trying so hard to make Gag-Fi.
Should we go
happen
through ep by ep? Because I've got just notes on each ep.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, here are some of my episode 7.
The swing
7
one
notes.
Was the worst of the three.
Definitely, definitely.
Here are some of.
That's what people say about threesomes with me.
I've got some controversial opinions.
The swinger one, he sucks.
The swinger one was the worst of the three.
I got some controversial opinions about
funny.
The swinger one then. But like Eddie K. Thomas, everything he does is such bad overacting.
Yeah, so I said in the last.
Who's Eddie K. Thomas?
Mike.
Yeah.
Like Finch from American Pie.
Yeah.
Just like everything is just so over the top.
I said in the last episode that I think he's getting better.
He's getting worse.
I retract that statement.
Yeah, he's getting worse.
Like, he's fine, but like, he's the worst part of the show.
But kind of related to that is, like, don't you feel like that, like, despite the, like, early 2000s setting, like, it has such a 70s vibe where just, like, everything is so melodramatic and over the top and just like,
yeah, definitely.
It's just like Home Improvement. Yeah,
I mean, because when I had no idea what the show was about. I thought the whole season, or like the show I was about to watch, was the main characters are Status Quo, Chow, and Ewan, the British guy.
Yeah.
So I thought
it's Ewan and Mike are supposed to be the main two.
But yeah, and that's kind of what I was annoyed about when it kind of turns to Mike being the dude, because I was like, that's actually kind of a cool show. Like, in Manhattan, you have a dude, a British
black
dude,
guy.
A black guy and a Chinese guy, and they all deal with being in America. But then you brought fucking Mike, who's boring.
And you put him front and center.
The most milquetoast white man of all time. What, other notes, it's insane how little respect Liz gets considering she's a main cast member. Yeah. Like, she's virtually not seen in that episode.
Yeah, Liz is still.
And also, I've looked some stuff up later. Like, Laurence Tamil is not a bad actress.
Yeah. Liz is still running the course that has been set early on for her, where, like,
she's just there to cause problems.
Well, like, if she does something bad, she's bad, and if she does something cool, she's a slut. Like she, like she still can't win in this.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
She gets closest, I think, in the Marathon Man episode. But even that,
I liked her in that episode.
Yeah.
The weird, I mean, I'm just on to your point, Rosie. Like,
yeah.
The weird point is that they set up very early that this episode, or with the when the parents come, is that this Mike fucking loves his mum. And I thought the episode was going to be about, okay, so now Mike has to choose between his mum and his girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like it should. But then you bring, and then one
keep that
comment,
point for later in the episode.
Yeah, one off comment is like going, also, my dad doesn't like me, which is weird. And it's like, that's the episode we're watching.
I just thought that was kind of like just dude stuff.
I was going to say, did you relate pretty hard to that episode?
No, it looked very different for me.
Well, the thing is,
it's like flip topsy turvy because, like, yeah, you have a fractured relationship with your dad, but it turns out you are the swinging sex freak as opposed to mum and dad.
No, they both are.
I don't know. I gotta get back into therapy. It's really bad. I gotta.
Yeah, no, you gotta go tell them about this tweet that I did.
Absolutely. yeah, I don't know, man. It's my relationship with my father and sex is, yeah, whatever.
You should stop having sex with your father.
Some might consider it to be unnatural.
They can't come between us, though.
Yeah.
No one could.
It's like the thing with the like family thing that Dave is right about is that it seems like in the cold open in Act 1 that the whole thing is going to be like Mike loves his mom and his girlfriend, but loves his mom almost in a sexual way.
Yeah.
But then it turns to like Mike has a fractured relationship with his dad and doesn't go a long way to explaining that beyond like his dad made fun of the way he threw once.
Yeah.
And then everyone else agrees with it.
Yeah. And his dad is a fucking dweeb.
Yeah. And his
Who's
dad...
Who's he going to neglect?
Yeah, at least my dad's cool, you know?
Yeah.
But his dad's a dweeb, and also, like, his dad the whole episode is really nice to him. Like, he buys him and his friends beers, like, tries to connect. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it doesn't... It kind of doesn't make sense.
This is why...
And, like, considering
also,
the mum's a swinger as well, like...
Yeah.
You could have nicely dovetailed that with the way he talks to his mom and the way he treats his girlfriend.
Mm.
But it's more kind of just like uses a very throwaway joke about his pediatrician and his disappointment with his dad, who again doesn't really go into what his dad did to him as a kid.
Definitely.
Yeah.
The funny joke for the episode would have been him loving his mom so much, finding out his mom's a swinger and kind of going, oh, my mum's not perfect, and having to deal with this. But just as a character.
Whatever!
And he decides to renounce being an emo guy.
Are you saying I'm not perfect?
What would you like to hear? That you are or that you're getting better?
Depends who it's coming from.
It's coming from me.
We'll talk after the podcast.
But I'm saying, like,
I wish I could act sheepish, like, silently on pod. You know what I mean?
Like, you got to figure out how to do sound effects like Michael Winslow.
Yeah, right. Okay.
People could feel that energy just then.
Yeah. Cool. It's palpable.
Good. It's because I'm a powerful performer.
But yeah, the fact that they've just dropped everything from the mum, it really annoyed me.
Well, this is a controversial thing.
And that's why I think it's the worst of three.
Yeah.
But this is the controversial thing that I had about that. Like, the crib storyline is very bad. It's terrible. And the ending of it all is very racist. But I thought, like, maybe the execution, not great, but the actual, like, within the context of stuff that we have seen in this show, the storyline of finding out that your parents are kinky swinging sex freaks is not bad. That's actually relatively interesting.
I think it's maybe ahead of its time in that it doesn't just purely condemn them for doing it, and it doesn't end with them being like, hey, swinging's wrong, which is a very 2000s sitcom.
That's exactly what this show would take, but it doesn't. Which
I don't
is
think
weird.
It would because like it was determined early on to like be edgy. So like, of course, Mike's parents were gonna do something fucked. Like you could see it from the first moment they came in.
Yeah,
I just wouldn't care. I guess I would.
Like
I
there was
know.
A count. Like once Mike's dad cheated, there was a countdown to like the reveal.
Oh, I knew it was because
it's been
that
done in every. That's the other problem. It's been done in every sitcom.
Yeah.
I've seen this. This was in
How I Met Your Mother.
How I Met Your Mother, and it's
Friends
also in Friends, and it's also in. That's two of the biggest.
Which Friends was it?
Joey's mother and father are cheating on each other,
and then on top of that, And then, like, yeah, that's what I was thinking. But then also on top of that, Chandler's dad being a drag queen is, like, using a lot of the same notes. Like,
yeah.
But that's sort of different.
I think it is different, but I'm saying it's, like, it's that, like, kind of...
Of just, like, parents.
But also, the thing is, like... Chandler's...
It's a lot of jokes of... And that's what my dad said when he fucked the pool boy. It's like, it's the jokes... It's a lot of the jokes are the same. It's about like, my dad's a slut or whatever.
But
like,
but that's a different problem because that's like, Chandler's dad is Chandler's other mum. Like,
is it ever confirmed if Chandler's dad is trans or if Chandler's dad's just a drag queen?
She is trans and trans. It's not like said.
You're right, they don't really have the words.
By the end, she's played by fucking Kathleen Turner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I don't know. I had a point about. Oh yeah, I think with the mum and the convoluted story, like stuff with the convoluted relationship with Mike and his mum. Because I think the problem I had with it is when you watch the episode at the start, it seems like it's going to be about a guy with like an Oedipal complex. But then it's revealed that it only seemed that way because it actually has nothing to do with that. It just happens to be a story by guys with Oedipal complexes.
Yeah.
Like the reason they're writing about this character's mother this way, we thought, to the point where we thought they were doing it as a device. It's like, oh no, these guys just have a fucked attitude towards mothers, I guess. Yeah. Like,
they obviously
these guys
asked
are just a bit fucked.
Like, they obviously asked that actress to put on that high voice as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
Mind them more
also,
me.
Yeah. Can I just say, she was kind of hot.
Yeah,
the dad like, is Stephen Tobolowsky, right? Like he's been in a bunch of stuff.
Can't remember.
He's I'm watching Silicon Valley again. He's in Silicon Valley. I think like season three. I'm up.
I think he's in the Mindy project.
Yeah. He's in a bunch of stuff, but he's
I
like
think
he's,
I only
he's
watched
awesome.
The first season. Yeah, he's
Let's
funny.
Let's move to the second one.
Well, the other point I had at least from that was just like when Status started. Doing that, I live in a crack house or whatever. Like,
yeah.
This may be less for you because you've only watched three episodes. But like, if you guys just kind of watch this and going like, I wonder when there'll be an episode where there won't be something like frighteningly problematic.
Yeah, I do imagine Dave is less concerned about racism than the three of us.
No, I just mean we've seen 9 episodes of the show. He only has to watch 3. We have to watch all 27.
Yeah, like, it's like, Dave, look.
Dave, you can sit this one out. We're talking about.
You're Torres Strait Islander. Like, you don't know shit.
Get on the bench.
Anyway.
Well, you might have had that thought of just like, I wonder if all 3 episodes are going to be equally problematic.
And I mean, that was kind of. The big problem with, like, that's why I was saying, like, what I thought the show was going to be was a British guy, an Asian American guy, and an African American guy live around each other, and they all have to deal with stuff. I think that's an interesting show of, like, you're a white guy, Asian guy, black guy, and
that could be an interesting show now.
Yeah. But then you just...
Except replace the British guy with, like, a woman. A trans woman, maybe.
Well, I mean...
Or
I think
maybe an Australian trans woman.
Are you just making the same joke as I am? But I've been.
But you're Hastings.
Yeah, I mean, look, but I'm more interesting. Well,
Rosie, I hate to take work from a trans actor, but I think what the show,
man.
Jamie.
No, but I just think the
show. It's a fat guy.
Hey, me, indigenous and fat, 2-for-1, baby.
Well, more like 3-for-1.
That's pretty
dirty dog. You treat our guests this way?
Jewish and fat, been through a lot.
All right, new podcast. Who's had it worse?
Man, if we made
two fat guys gone, well, they actually killed more of my people. Yeah.
We're tailor-made for a podcast because our logo is just the fucking animals. Yeah. Like,
but like the weird thing is like, so it's like
the problem is you can't fit both of you in the photo. Oh,
that hurts. Man, sucks to see you done like that, Dave. Just obviously talk about you.
Or like fat guys talking about fat guys with different backgrounds talking about travesties while eating fast food. Just like
while
fuck.
Smoking the fattest blunts.
Yeah.
You just hear like
fatties with fatties. Yeah.
Oh, fucking
fatties with fatties.
Neither
that's
of you smoke weed.
Wait,
but
I know.
Couldn't you get some fucking sponsorship on that pod?
Oh my god! I'd start
every fast food eatery. Like you'd be raking in the bucks.
Damn.
All right, let's talk.
Let's do this.
It's time to jettison Hastings.
Finally. Let's wrap this
put
up.
Me out of my
Jamie
misery.
Time to take A6 outside with the shotgun.
Well, was someone finishing a point? Or
I had a story about to do with you two looking the same.
Yeah.
I was in Melbourne.
This has been said before.
I was in Melbourne. Yeah. But hold on. I was in Melbourne last year. And it was quite late out the front of the artist bar, and I was quite drunk, and I was with Tom Sanderson, who was in, you know, a Tom Sanderson mood.
Former guest.
Yeah, I was hanging out with the Sandman, and he was just going up, like, we were just hanging out in the smoking area at the front, and he just went up to Adam Knox and go, do you know Adam Knox, Jamie?
I know him.
So Adam Knox, great
Knoxy.
Comedian from
very
Adam,
funny.
Yeah, he's sick. Hey, Sando goes right up to Knox and goes, hey, Knoxy, has anyone ever told you that you look just like an inflated version of Jamie Kirk? Adam Knox is like, I know that name. I've never met him. I've never seen a photo of him.
He also
Tom, I don't know what
that's
you're talking about.
Such a rude
thing. And then Tom, just keeps, and Adam has to be like,
it's
well,
a
this
rude
sounds
thing.
Like it's quite
it's
mean.
It's a rude thing to say to him. It's a rude thing to say about your friend. And also, it's not even particularly accurate.
He had beard and longer hair at the time.
Yeah.
He was talking about the beard and the hair. They're just both fat guys with beard and
but
hair.
But even so, like, not Noxy doesn't look like Jamie.
I'm not telling a story favorably to Tom right now.
In defense of Tom.
Who does listen to every episode?
Yeah,
well, so hi, Tom.
Love you, Tom. But yeah, no, Dan just kept insisting. And I'd be like, Tom, I don't know who that is. And this doesn't feel very nice.
Yeah.
I had that with Noxy. I mean, it's just when you look like, when you're a couple of handsome birds.
Yeah. When you're a couple of guys that fill out a suit pretty well.
I mean, it's just the classic thing. If you have curly hair and a beard and like, because I've gotten an Noxy. When I was at Melbourne, last year, I think,
Fucking weren't there this year, were we?
Yeah, exactly. when I bumped into Noxy, it was like, you know, me and him have a little chat and just some fucking kind of go, hey, you look like him. It's like, yeah, we get it.
Yeah, we both have 10-inch pins.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's the biggest resembling factor.
We're both packing big heat.
Should we move to episode 8?
I would love to. One is though, there's nothing really problematic about this one, all right?
There had to have been something. There always is.
Again?
This was the one where Ewan was
lies
paying
to Mike. And
oh,
Mike
yeah.
And gets him to be a bitch.
Kiss and be a fucking
yeah, gets him to be a bitch, dude.
Jamie, you can do this to me if you want.
I just, I said that. Like, this is probably the first genuinely interesting plot of like money versus.
Do you think so? Though it's such a sitcom plot.
Yeah, it's very sitcom.
But like money versus morals.
Yeah, but it's my butler. Like it's. But it's my butler.
Yeah, but you could there's more interesting stuff to do with that than like everyone's got crabs.
It at least makes sense, which is you can't really say about the
there's
parent one.
There's still so much of a problem with this show.
Here's a problem.
Ewan just
one at
always
a time, guys.
Wins.
Here's a problem that I have with it though. Why is Mike got this great job and is such a shitbag?
Do you mean like why is the world unfair, or
you know,
what did he do to get the job?
No,
or?
But they play him out to be like, look how what a wonderful guy he is working in charity, but he's like awful.
Yeah,
he's
well,
an awful
the thing
guy.
Is,
like, where is your drive to work in charity? You suck.
Most
you're
sitcom leads are bad characters in it. Like you know, everyone's always like, well, Ross is famously a monster, like stuff like that.
But like
it's probably
like,
a bit of that.
He's such an awful.
It's also
selfish
like
person.
I think it's also like Hollywood writers being out of touch with like non-Hollywood wages because like if you listen to it,
because people they
on,
say $600
yeah,
a week.
Yeah, he makes $600
dude,
a week.
Dude, that's so good. 2003.
Yeah,
that's good.
24.
In America,
it's $2,400 US a month,
which
is like above minimum wage significantly.
I don't make that much more than $600 a week now. I make more than that now,
well, like,
but not that much more.
Well, like,
oh man,
you know,
last
like,
full time my job, last full time my job.
Yeah.
Say
your salary on air. Say your salary on air.
I could. I
don't.
Why not?
Do it. Be transparent.
I can't think of a good reason not to.
It wasn't good enough. It was like 55K a year, so I earned like probably like $750 a week or something.
That
like
is bad.
It's terrible.
Yeah, I earn less than that now, but I earned a lot more of my other jobs. I took a big pay cut for this job.
Because you love, you just have a big passion for uni.
Student accommodation.
Just as a quick side note, it's come up.
No, it's because it's easy.
It's come up before.
The Andrew Hastings Hope poster.
It's come up before.
It's easy.
Thumbs up.
Easy.
I'm doing the hate symbol. No, yeah.
Two white power symbols.
No.
Two white power symbols.
You're doing the
it's easy.
Man, if I got a photo of you doing that, I would Photoshop that to the Barack Obama Hope thing. Like, tomorrow. Like, I would dedicate my whole day to it.
Oh, yeah. It's worth it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Excuse me, not really anything, but I've seen it before, but I only thought to write a note now. Like, do you notice there in the background, it's like a foreign language American pie poster in Chow's restaurant?
I did notice it.
And it's Vietnamese for boy puts his dick in a pie, I believe.
Really? You looked that up?
I did.
Because I didn't know what language it was.
Good morning in Vietnamese. Is that racist? Probably, right? I probably shouldn't say that. I apologize.
Now, I'm just going to ask, is that just for the joke for the show? Or up? Or that's not the actual Vietnamese translation for American
pie? I think it's a joke for the show because it's by the guys who created it.
Yeah. Yeah, they wrote it.
Do you want me to talk about Big Bang Theory?
I want to hear this theory.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were...
No, you go. I just had only one more point on this episode.
All right. I've spoken before about how, I'm not saying I think Big Bang Theory's good. I don't think it's a good show. I'm not arguing that. I think it gets, kind of an unfair rap, specifically around, sitcom comparisons and things like that. Mm. It's very bad, but I think that... I think watching this show kind of crystallized what my defense of the Big Bang Theory is, and I think it's, an interesting... I think it's interesting for this show to compare, what they do differently. This show is everything they're doing they're doing pretty bad, right? Mm. It's a very formulaic sitcom. You recognize all these elements of sitcoms. It's clearly just a sitcom. It's whatever. You're going okay, well, the premise isn't quite clear. What is the show? What the show is actually about? The lead actor, it's he's unlikable, but it's not really clear if he's supposed to be unlikable or not. I'm not really enjoying him. The lead actor,
I think he's not supposed to be unlikable.
It does a lot of
but he absolutely is.
Some of the stories are tighter than others, and the ones they do bad, it's this is pretty bad. The ones they do well, though, it's that one we were saying about the money. It's this is just it's just a sitcom. It's a tight, it makes sense as a sitcom.
Mm.
Big Bang, I think that the actual content... the actual jokes involved or whatever, I think they're just as bad in both sitcoms. I think this is as bad as the Big Bang Theory. I think maybe some of the criticism people have of whatever, but Big Bang Theory does that stuff well. Big Bang Theory has a lot of money behind it. Actually quite well produced and it's pretty slick. What I'm saying is I think the thing this show does wrong isn't that it's not that funny because there's a lot of unfunny sitcoms. It isn't that it's badly made because there's a lot of badly made sitcoms. It's not that it's not whatever. It's just that it's not really good enough at it.
My problem with the Big Bang Theory is though they have that amount of money behind it and this is still what you produced.
Yeah,
fucking hell, dude.
Doesn't bother me because it's like
the show was made to make money and it makes a lot of money.
It's also still one of the most popular sitcoms of all time, for better or worse.
Critical acclaim is not a goal for the creators of that
show. Oh, I know. But
I think I understand what you're saying, and I think I understand why that is as well.
Yeah,
it's an idea that kind of crystallized to me in the last couple of episodes of watching this. Is
I like that we're all having epiphanies.
It's but Big Bang Theory, for all its faults and flaws as a joke telling service, and for what it does, it's still deeply rooted in 4 to 5 very easily identifiable characters that get things. Whereas off-center,
it's in a lab made fucking sitcom. Yeah. It's so by the numbers, it fucking hits those numbers.
Yeah. So when you're making the Big Bang Theory, you're like, all right, well, I've got this guy who's the sweet nerd, who is gonna be the main love interest, and that's kind of unconventional. Then we've got this really unconventional nerd who
who's our Kramer,
Who has Asperger's, and that's gonna be a thing with mental health. Then we've got this Indian guy, and he's got this, and then we've got the perfect guy, and then we've got the whole woman. Whereas off center is their pitch is we're gonna be an edgy sitcom.
Yeah.
We want to, everything has
There's
to
no
be
premise
edgy.
To the sitcom.
And so it's all right, well, what about the characters? And it's well, the characters will serve to push the edgy jokes.
Yeah.
Because we're doing American Pie, but on the small screen, but also for a TV audience.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about sex and dicks and threesomes and cheating and like non-monogamy
and mum
black
swinging.
Yeah, and like black yeah. guys pretending to be white and whatever. And it's like, all right, well, like, give me an example of your character. And they're like, we just did.
Yeah, definitely.
And you're like, no, you didn't.
You know what this show, the best version of what this show is trying to be is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. that's just like a show who's like, but the problem is like, I think Off-Center's trying to play it safe. But it's like, we want to be edgy, but we also want to be very commercial.
Yeah, it's actually not that edgy.
Well, it's not.
Because they were on the WB.
Yeah.
It's so, but it's like, if you can't do it, then don't do it. Like,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. Do something different. So we all agree, this fucking show is just a waste of time.
Well, yeah. then there's the last episode.
Cancel the pod.
Yeah. I had this point. It was, I think I've kind of brought this up briefly in the last couple of episodes about this, but like the stuff with like the prank war stuff where they're like tallying up how many pranks they have on each other, like they need more of that because that makes them feel like their friendship is more lived in or whatever. And like the joke where he's just like, oh, I put my tongue in your beer when you like were not at the table or whatever. Like that's like a nice touch. Like, you know, those things that they have in shows where like, there's little jokes like that that are like, they're not that funny, but it's like a nice
it's
thing
good to
between
use
the friends.
So that you know that are friends.
Yeah.
They have been for a while.
Yeah. Like there was very limited, you know, chemistry between anyone.
Oh, there's no fucking chemistry. Just,
Episode 9, though, does have one of my favorite lines from the whole show so far.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those ones where it's like, it's so dumb that I appreciate the audacity of how ridiculous it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's John Cho saying, you want to make some cabbage, you got to show some abbage.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Which is like, like I laughed out loud being like, oh, that's good.
If someone said that to me conversationally, I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, if someone said that conversationally to me, I'd be like, that's a tweet and I'm stealing it.
Chow kind of ruled. I thought Chow...
Well, Chow is the breakout star of the show.
Yeah, like, and I think it's just a testament to... Again, I don't remember his name, but like that guy,
John Cho,
Harold.
Harold.
Yeah,
I was thinking when I was watching this show, I was like, "Is he Harold?" I was like, "Is he Harold or Kuma?" And I was like,
"Yeah,
he's obviously Harold."
They really fucked up if he's Kuma.
I do that in my head every time we talk about either of those actors.
Yeah, definitely.
I have to think, it's like, no, of course he's not Kuma. It's I think they must have done it on purpose,
of
right?
Of course, yeah. It was like Chow. Like Chow was, I enjoyed every time he was on.
Yeah.
Screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've espoused his virtue quite a bit.
From memory, he starts to get a lot more screen time because they obviously clock that, like, John Cho is the best actor. And,
yeah.
Like, the star.
Yeah. So we've kind of done a bit of episode 9 already. We've mentioned, like, episode 9 is the big gay panic episode.
Yeah.
And the first time they did the, like, I'm not gay, I'm British joke, I was like, oh, for 2002? That would fucking knock it out the
ground. So I first heard that joke in Arrested Development.
It would have been Arrested
Development. It would have been before it, right? Because it was season 3 Arrested Development when they did the Little Britain part.
Now, when we're talking about the racism part of the first episode, I took as stand back. Rosie, I think it's time for you to... step back a bit while we talk about the gay panic episode.
Well, this is the first note that I made about this was just gee, I bet this issue will be handled tastefully over the next 20 minutes.
Good.
This one was fucking again, like, just, and I guess it's just that early 2000s, like, this whole show is very toxic masculinity.
That's literally what the other, like, literally every fucking storyline in the show stems from some form
and
of toxic masculinity.
Because even the episode before, it's like,
it's almost like it's systemic or something.
Even the one where you're like, oh, this isn't as provo, is like, it's still toxic masculinity. Yeah. Like, my friend makes more money than me, and I feel emasculated.
And
by
it's kind of like, all right, like, we've set it up, like, this guy fucking works at a charity. Sorry, I know we're moving on, but we're going back to the last one. It's like, all right, the big problem is, you work at a charity and he is a corporate dude. It's not actually a problem. Now, I think if I was making so much money and I had, like, you know, a mate who wasn't, but I was like, hey, we're all going to this big restaurant, like this big expensive. If I knew he wasn't making a lot of money, I'd be like, hey, bro, still come along. I'll take you out. Like, yeah. Just like, because...
Yeah, it's nice of you to do that, you know, for Jack Romance.
Jack Romance is... He's that for me.
That guy. He's your Ewan.
Look, yeah, I work...
Jack Romance is just storming in and be like, I slept with the hottest bird last night, David. Working as a reporter.
I'm in News Corp. Well, that's a sitcom itself. I work at the ABC. He's at News Corp. What's going to happen?
The original odd couple.
I gotta be a man.
It's covered by Dune Rats.
Said I gotta be a man. Halfway there.
The whole intro is just smash and cunt.
Red light, green light is bond. Like, it refers to bonds, right?
No, a red light, green light. It's Dom Dollar.
Yeah. But isn't the whole video for Red Light and Green Light, is they literally just like,
bombs.
They just smashed cones the entire video.
They did the record cone thing. But it was like, is it because it's like lighter and weed, like red and green?
What song, which one is this are you talking about?
Red Light, Green Light by Dune Rats.
The Dune Rats. Yeah. So I'm just thinking of the Red Light, Green Light.
I was like,
no, that's dancing.
Yeah, when they say Red Light, Green Light, are they talking about smoking a bowl?
Of course.
Yeah.
Dude, what song are they not talking about smoking a cone?
Yeah, that's where they're talking about cracking a fresh Yulee's beer.
Yeah.
This podcast brought to you by you guys.
Dune Rats bring in advertisements when I'm here.
Man, I love Dune Rats. They're like, we brought our mums to Splendor. Isn't that funny? I'm like, yeah, that's so funny, dude.
I think it's cool.
Fucking, I'm not going to comment so on much.
But imagine that's a cool. I'm sure I've never met
it. They seem like they'd be all
right. Every time I've heard them, like, you know, everyone.
I'm not making fun of the dude.
They seem like they're still sending text messages to each other, going, "Lol, random, WTF."
What's wrong with that?
That's how random, lol.
I send that to Asics all every day.
It's good to see people from Brisbane get out.
It's good to say Hastings got a little bit tickled by that.
That's funny. Yeah. You know, speaking of people from Brisbane, I used to, like, this was like a few years ago, I was sleeping with this mum, and she was she was like my age. She just had a kid. It's relevant to the story. Yeah. The story's about her being a mum.
Does the kid... All right, cool. Yeah. I was just like,
she told me that
the kid loved
she moved down from Brisbane, but she told me that she was in like a mother's group where they would all breastfeed in the park. Was like the gimmick of this mother's group or whatever. And it was like this big, like, they were very like, they would like go to like the...
There was another local group who met up to watch them breastfeed in the park.
Anyway, it was all the...
called the Brisbane comedy scene.
It was. Yeah. She was telling me that she was in this like public...
Regrettably a former member.
Oh, I never joined them.
She was telling me that she was in this like public breastfeeding's mother's group when she just had a baby with all the mums from Violent Soho.
What? Yeah. Wait, what?
As in like the people who were the mothers of the members of
Violent Soho. Wives from Violent Soho. Oh, sorry, right. Sorry, not the mothers.
The wives.
The new mothers who were the wives of the guys from Violent Soho. If you just call them like the Violent Soho wives.
The wags.
The Violent Soho, I'm probably 95% sure it is them. They've had a pretty cool start, like, because they were working in, like, IT before they broke.
Yeah.
So, like, when they were working as IT, I think for the uni, they, like, send emails being like, hey, we'll fix your computer, but also listen to Vaughn Soho on JJR.com.
Fuck yeah.
Why not?
When I
left a job, I, like, plugged, like, our comedy rooms and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, come down to Powerbomb Comedy.
Yeah. I saw Violent Soho at Good Things, the last festival I went to pre-COVID. They were fantastic.
Yeah, no, they
felt great. They're pretty fire. Amazing. Like, yeah.
What were we talking about?
All right. Well, here we go.
Off center. Oh yeah. Are we done?
Yeah, we're hurtling towards this part.
I might have some interesting points, but probably not because I'm not very smart. I had two at least. One. Do you think the When Harry Met Sally thing counts as an homage, or was that straight up a ripoff?
It's very famous.
It was definitely one of those famous. I think, and like, it's the worst homage possible because I was just like, well,
it's so telegraphed.
It's like, hey, it's the scene, but except it's gay.
It's on purpose, right?
And it's just like cool
because they do say anything a couple of episodes before.
I was in church once, the priest did a sermon on that scene from When Harry Met Sally.
And he was like, "It is sick."
But he did.
Thou shall be the maddest scene.
He's pointing.
I shall have what she's having.
I was just gonna say,
priests don't say they'll. priests don't say thou shalt. Like, that's from the Bible.
He's like pointing up to the sky and being like, I'll have what he's having.
That's so close to what it is.
Yeah, I know. I went to a Catholic high school.
He was saying the reason he wanted to, the way he decided to become a priest was he saw a guy, like the way he got into like religion.
He saw a guy
who was like just crushing it and was like, and he was like, how you doing it, bro? And he's like, let me leave you in a secret. It's Jesus. And he was like, damn, I love what he's having. But like, he had a PowerPoint with images from the movie and shit. And like, does everyone remember this scene? Well, I had a moment like that. Everyone was like, you, father?
Yeah. I faked like an orgasm.
A lame-ass God story.
That is so funny. It's like, if you see... I've never seen a priest just fucking crushing life. And I need to get on that.
Yeah.
This is a different priest. I once had a priest be like... This was like, as an adult, I was... 20, maybe 19 or 20. And a priest was like, damn, you got tattoos? Show me your ink. And I was like, all
right.
Imagine
hearing, show me your ink from a priest. You'd be like, I've got to get all these removed.
Yeah. I mean, I was an adult. But yeah, oh, right. Yeah, you weren't making a pedophile joke. Fair enough.
No, it was just fuck, I'm not cool.
Man, it was actually crazy. I'll tell the whole story. It was pretty nuts. I was 19. I was bummed that my uncle had just died. And my mum had the priest who did the funeral, like, over for dinner because it was, like, one of her friends. And he, like, I was just, like, in the lounge room, like, playing guitar and, like, being all surly and sad. And he came in being like, let's hang, dude. And, like, I think he thought I, like, needed, like, help or whatever. But I was just, like, 19 and was like, just leave me alone, dude. This guy came in and he was like, cool ink, brother. Show me, and I, like, showed him my, like, I had two tattoos at the time or something. And he was like, that's crazy. Look at mine. Pulled off his shirt. He had a full back piece of the Archangel Michael.
Was he ripped?
Yeah,
no, he wasn't ripped.
I was thinking like it would have been.
You gotta love the ripped.
Yeah, I'm picturing like the Boondocks.
He was like in his forties. He was like, yeah, he was.
He has like two Glocks.
He was like kind of like a flabby 40-something Italian dude. Yeah.
I mean, that's still kind of awesome. But yeah, he was like.
Yeah. He also had like a cross in his chest. Then he was like, "You're playing guitar, there, dude?
Cool ink." Your uncle and the big gabagool in the sky.
Oh, dearie me.
Then he was like, you playing guitar there, dude? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, give me a fang on that axe.
This guy,
I hand him my guitar.
This fucking priest.
Like he's asking to smoke a joint.
So then he picked up my guitar and he was like this like incredible flamenco player. Holy he was shit. Like so good. And I was just like, fuck off, I'm watching NCIS. Like,
I'm trying to play Damn It.
Yeah. No, it was pretty good.
Okay, before we get into the last thing, I got one final question just to try and give Liz's character some sort of screen time. Have you got an ex who's got like a loser partner like that? Or like an old partner who's like such a dweeb that you question yourself and you're like, am I a fucking dweeb?
I've had like two or three girlfriends ever.
I only had three girlfriends ever, but yes, I do have that.
Yeah, my first girlfriend's like partner's a cop.
My first girlfriend's partner was like way too clingy with her, and he was a dweeb.
Yeah.
But that's only because I like won her off him.
Oh wait, are you saying who exes cool. are with now or who currents? Because Yvette's exes are.
I'm not gonna comment on my ex girlfriend's future partners. But yeah, like they're all fucking
exes, current partners.
But compared to me, exes, former losers. Partners. Yeah.
I mean, I met. I don't know. I'm like kind of. Cut all that part where I say I'm kinda.
Yeah.
This chick I'm
oh my god, Dave.
I did you saw
Dave,
how
make a declarative statement.
I'm not gonna like how smoothly I did it before. I'm just seeing girl at the moment. That's how quickly you do it.
Look, I'm seeing oh god.
You're seeing girl at the moment. I've met her, she's lovely.
I'm seeing this girl.
Does she listen to this podcast or something?
No, she might. She
did follow me on Twitter the other day, so maybe she will.
All right, everyone, go to Rose's Twitter, find out who Dave's new slam piece is.
I've got a few new followers lately. Okay, look, you're gonna have to do some deducing.
But I went to a birthday. It was her birthday. I went to some birthday drinks.
Mm.
And
I like that you have consistent with birthday. I like it.
What?
Keep going.
And look, I She invited her ex boyfriend, who they're like mates now. I met him, and I was kind of like, you know, I was like, I didn't want to meet him.
Yeah.
She asked me, she goes, like, do you want to meet him? And she goes, is it okay if I invite him? I'm like, well, it doesn't really matter what I want. You're going to do it if you... But no.
Yeah.
I mean, because, like, don't give me the option, because I'll just tell you no. But yeah. I met him, and he was okay. He was very... I thought he was kind of socially... Like, he's very socially...
Yeah, that's a cool...
But I think it was just because... I think we were both just kind of looking at each other like, why are we...
Yeah, we shouldn't be meeting.
I shouldn't, you know what? And also, he had more friends there because it was like it was part of a different friend group.
Yeah,
so probably I should have tapped that one out.
Well,
no, but you can't. No, that's he's the one that's got to tap out.
I think you should have tapped that again.
I'll tap the ex.
I'll tap the ex boyfriend. Let's keep it in the family.
It's a real show of like a turtle, a show of dominance.
I had a funny thing on the weekend. Remember last episode, I was like, I'd done a bunch of MDMA the night before?
Yeah.
So one of the people I was hanging out with the night before was a friend of Yvette's who I slept with a long time ago. Not in like a long time, but I've slept with her before. And we were both on like MDMA. And so she was being like a bit like... affectionate or whatever, like not like flirty at all, but like it was like nice. It was like we were on MDMA and stuff, like just at a pub, she had her arm around me casually or whatever. And earlier in the night, she'd been like, oh yeah, I started dating this guy, his name's Josh, he's really cool. Josh. And because I was like on MDMA, Josh. I was like, man, Josh sounds sick, like you should have invited Josh. And she was like, I did. I was like, why isn't he here? Like, it was like one of those dumb MDMA things.
Yeah,
where I was like, man, I'm
he's
so
competing at the
where
X
I was
Games.
Like, where I was like way too happy for her and way too enthusiastic because I was high. I was like, fuck, that sounds so sick, dude. An hour later, she's hugging me and she was like, being like, hey, I'm like, I know I'm hugging you a lot tonight. Is that okay? And I was like, yeah, of course, dude. I'm chill. And she goes, cool. Just like, I'm not trying to fuck or anything. I'm just like, I'm just, you know, I'm feeling close to you now and I want to give you a hug. And I was like, yeah, of course, that's dude. Besides, I wouldn't do that to Josh. Like, I wouldn't.
That's so funny. Dude, I fucking love Josh.
I haven't even seen a photo of him. Like, dude, I would never do that to Josh.
You're waiting for that.
Josh is my bro.
You're waiting for the Hastings punchline of this, though, which is, yeah, I'll fuck her later that
I
night.
I didn't. I've been a good boy lately. Don't worry.
And then I had to call Josh. I'm like, bro,
I'm so sorry, dude.
You're still pinging like, fucking Josh, I'm sorry.
I really hope this doesn't affect our friendship at all.
Yeah. Fuck Josh. Imagine calling your friend. Bro, I love you, but I fucked her, bro. I swear to God.
Josh, please come on my podcast.
Josh.
I really done did it. I fucked
it. Yeah, so a bit of a spoiler for next week's guest, Josh.
And Josh is like, bro, who are you?
Yeah.
And who is she?
Yeah.
We are not dating.
So I went on one date with this girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Should we get into the...
Yeah,
the
one
project?
Last thing that we like to do is that... So, you've now watched 3 episodes of Off-Center. There's a lot of problems with it, obviously.
Yeah.
A lot of problems that we, as 4 people, one of us has qualified writer's room experience. It's the guests on the podcast. But we've decided to fix Off-Center.
Yeah.
We've got a writer's room in. We've had past guest Laura Coleman. So I'll give you like a brief preface. What we've done so far is to fix the show, we've broken up Mike and Liz to give Liz some agency and to kind of push Mike into the background and maybe make Chow the more center stage guy.
Yep.
So our first plot line that we came up with was that because we're like, because Ewan has a tendency to, no matter what happens, he always wins, no matter what heinous shit he does.
Yep.
That Ewan like secretly likes comic books and that he like bonds with status quo after.
Over this. Secret
and also
desire.
Like Chow and Liz also bond with them over this because they like to go to Comic-Con and pick up nerds to fuck. Whereas Mike tries to dress like Spider-Man.
Because that was the thing. Chow starts to go on a hot streak and Mike and Ewan to a degree are like, what?
So our whole thing is like, by fixing them, we're trying to push Mike back. We're trying to make Ewan more likable and we're trying to give stories to Chow, Liz, and status quo. Right. I had an idea for this is that using episode 9 where everyone think that Mike's Ewan is gay. Like the same base.
Can I just say as a side note, episode 8 was probably the closest that it comes to Ewan losing.
Yeah, but he still pulls it out.
He got pranked, but he does still pull it out at least. It gets the last word where he's like, Mike has to pay for the tab.
Yeah, but also also episode 9 where like everyone thinks he's gay at the end that woman's like, "Oh, it'd be better if you're gay." And he's like, "Well, I am gay."
This incredibly homophobic woman who goes, "I know you're gay, but I'm going to fuck you to you straight." It's like,
because I don't believe it.
Yeah, it's like, that's a choice you're making. It's like, all right, lady.
Well, so yeah, my idea was to rewrite episode 9 in a way that like brings my theories together.
Oh, challenging that you're going for the gay panic episode.
Yeah, no, and like I want to do it like that as well, because like, oh yeah, another thing is we're still writing as if it is 2002.
Yeah,
I've got. Can I quickly jump in, because it might change a lot of things?
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
All right. Because what I thought when I first put it on, I saw three characters of Ewan, British guy, Chow, Asian American, and status quo, African American. Now, we have Mike there, another white guy. Why do we need him? But also, remember when I don't know if it was got cut because there was a problem with our recording, but it's very much a post 9/11 America, 2002. Let's make Mike Muslim.
Damn.
Ooh.
Because now, off center.
Mike dies in 9/11.
No, but it's like, but you have
episode 4.
No, no, but you have this fucking, like, if the show's like completely, it's off center.
Absolutely. You're right.
It's like, it's not. So you have a diverse cast.
So off center has the double title.
And then now you can have Mike. He's still the same guy, but it's pretty much, he's now. You have so much like going like of, all right, now he has to deal with the post 9/11
America.
He
has a reason for being a constant sad sack is because everyone hates him.
Yeah, exactly. And he's getting fucking, and now, but, and then you can still have I think you could play Ewan's character of a white savior trope to its max and like make it really funny and like kind of going, you know, I think there's definitely stuff in there. Like if you turn Mike, you know who you get? Fucking Kuma. Get Harold and Kumar back together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that'd be sick. You
Instead
know?
Of Mike, it's Mahmoud.
But, you know, but like, and then you can still have like the same Liz. I'm just going to.
Was that?
No, you're fine. I love the Liz Dave No Cell, but you're fine.
I think it was fucked.
Was it off color? Like, I don't know.
I didn't.
Rose, no one listens to this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. Like,
that's why I'm the head writer.
Yeah. I genuinely don't know. Was that off
color? I don't know.
Problem is we don't either.
Yeah.
Also, we don't care. Yeah, you're asking the wrong people.
Yeah, I just genuinely don't.
You're asking
wrong
a guy on his phone and a person they could.
I'm setting up my next bit of content.
You've been looking on Twitter for the last 5 minutes.
No, I want to talk about this tweet.
This is why you're such fucking nuisance in the writers.
Okay,
room.
So I have my idea is that I kind of like that Mike's just like a Muslim guy now.
Yeah,
but also like for no reason.
We've got to keep building on.
It's just it should be like that because like then you can because what's. I mean, no, anyone needs a reason, but why is Chow Asian? Like, he doesn't do anything.
Yeah,
really
Mike
like
is still played by
the
Eddie K.
The Asian
Thomas.
Thing that he does is work in a Vietnamese restaurant.
Like, yeah, exactly.
There's no
arguably one of the most Vietnamese things you can do.
There's no casting change here, though. Yeah. So we're doing the gay panic episode again, and the plot.
Yeah.
The start of the plot is basically the same. Someone thinks Ewan is gay. And Ewan gets upset about it.
Yeah.
But enter status quo.
Yes.
Who gets upset.
That Ewan's upset?
Yeah, with Ewan for being upset.
Yeah.
And then it comes to
why
the fact
do you
that
give a shit?
Now we're talking interpersonal conflicts, baby.
And it turns out
values are being challenged.
This is status
the week after they've just bonded over their comic book thing.
Yeah, and this is status quo's big coming out.
This is what I call a learning moment as
so
well.
Status quo is not like,
so status quo is
status
gay?
Quo is gay show. And he's upset that Ewan is upset that people would think he was gay.
I like that.
And that's my main plot for those two, but we've got plots for the...
That is a good way to get someone to come out in a sitcom.
Yeah,
I think
that's great.
Definitely. That'd
is like, what's wrong? What's wrong with being gay? Who cares if you're fucking gay?
So now,
like, who cares if they think you're gay?
Now, my darling writers,
well,
what are our plots for Mike, Liz, and Chow? And where do they
fit
in?
Of that
in
same
this?
Episode.
Yeah, and they can be unrelated.
Okay,
they
I think
be to do with Mike's Muslim.
I think
I just want to go back to the status quo gay storyline real quick. I just think it's exciting, Jamie. I think you've done great. I think it's both a learning moment both for Ewan, but also for America.
Mm.
I'm the studio head in this scenario.
I think Liz...
I got a promotion between the episodes.
I will not allow that.
I think Liz...
I went above your head, dude. I'm the studio head.
Liz is the...
My backstory is that you're the fuck-up nephew of the owner of the WWE.
Yeah, no, I still am. That was what we were doing last week. Since then, I've gotten around you, right, and I'm now your boss.
I have a couple of theories. Liz is the confidant to status quo.
Yeah, I like that.
So he's kind of like... Like, she knows... Maybe she's found out in a previous episode that he's gay and they're keeping it under wraps together until he's comfortable with telling everyone, and then this thing with Ewan is what pushes it out into thing. My thing as well is because Mike was kind of left out in the lurch in our last episode.
Yes.
Maybe Mike is left out in the lurch again in this, where he's kind of doing his own thing, and that becomes a bit for a while, because then he'll genuinely be like, I'm a fucking Muslim in post 9/11 America, and y'all are just leaving me out here like a pimple on your dick. You need to be better friends.
Wait,
you can actually make him a sympathetic character.
So, okay, but
instead of just a pathetic character.
In this
character.
Episode, because I think we should, this should be, if we're, all right, so I think it should be the still a thing though, like where maybe they're broken up. So Liz and Mike are broken up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think this is the episode where Liz starts seeing someone. I reckon what this episode should really focus, like the big theme of it is very much fragile masculinity.
Mm. Yeah.
And so now, you know, you can still have, so kind of like how, kind of flip it. So in this episode, the ex-boyfriend was very small, almost like a jockey type.
Mm. Oh,
so
yeah.
So Liz starts seeing this guy who's huge, fucking
like the platonic ideal of a man.
Yeah. And
what Mike expected the guy to be.
You know what? A full American.
Yeah.
Like a full Hulk Hogan. Like Hulk Hogan. Like pretty much like. And so now you kind of.
Nothing out of this gun.
But
just
like
nothing. Like the guy who lives and breathes wrestling.
Well, he should be played by John.
Sorry, I swear to God. I was just rescheduling a booty call. That's the only thing that can take me away from where I heard Hulk Hogan.
Continue.
But
please.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, you have this like, you know, John Cena, Hulk Hogan-esque, like American. So then you kind of have this
John,
Mike guy.
Played by John Cena would be a good guest star spot.
Yeah. And like
such a good actor.
And you have now you have Mike kind of, there's so much comedy there of like, you know, this real like fucking 4th of July bandana wearing cunt.
Mm.
And like Mike's kind of like, he goes like, I fucking hate, like you can have like bars of him in the Vietnamese restaurant going like, I fucking hate this fucking piece of shit. He's all too much American. Everyone's looking at this like Muslim guy now going, what is he talking about? Hate in America?
Yeah.
And there's funny stuff in
there. Yeah,
and then
he
kind of has to learn
they
like.
They can do their kind of like off-center mugging to camera. Just move.
Yeah.
It's still a sitcom.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Fuck yeah. Also, I think I found a way to bring Chow into this.
Okay.
Because if we're doing like the gay panic UN status quo subplot where status quo eventually comes out of the closet. Like if Liz is dating this new guy that's all American, played by John Cena that Mike kind of like hates and can't reconcile the fact that he's a Muslim and also the ex-boyfriend. Mm. Chow is all the way the other way and is just in love with John Cena.
Yeah.
Like Chow's like, if Chow's got to go gay for John Cena, Chow's got to go gay for John Cena.
Kind of like the 30 Rock joke. But like that's great, that's fine.
Like Chow is in love with him, but like,
and like championing like Liz.
Well, also like it's
do
not
it. Marry this
guy. Yeah, it's not so much a gay thing. He just like he's what
idolizes
John Cena wants to be. Yeah,
and so then you can have kind of the flip thing is that so kind of I think how Mike's whole thing is kind of going like, you know how at the end of that episode the real ending is like she goes, oh yeah, like we had sex a lot. But we have an emotional bond. So I think kind of her thing, since they're broken up now with this John Cena type guy, like the big kind of ending for them is like between Liz
Let's
and
just
Mike.
Say John Cena.
Yeah, John
We've
Cena.
We've cast John Cena.
It's John Cena. So it's like Liz and Mike, and Mike's telling her like, oh, you know.
What year was this? 01?
01, yes.
02? Okay, so you're a debut.
Yeah. He's just debuted.
Yeah. He's passed the prototype.
And he has ruthless aggression.
Man, real quick, did you... we'll talk after the podcast.
We'll talk after that.
I'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Cool.
But like...
I feel like maybe I know what you're talking about. I could be wrong.
No, just listen.
Man, you can stick around.
Because...
I live here.
And you can stick around if you want.
So...
I live in the blast hole.
Liz,
we're recording in the blast hole.
Liz and Mike are chatting, and Liz kind of Mike goes, look, I feel like you've replaced me, and I feel inadequate. And she goes, it's like, I feel like I'm not good at sex. I feel like this is why you replaced me, because... And she goes, look, what me and John Cena has is an emotional bond. Like, I love him. And it's like, and it can be even sad, like, Mike, I'd love him more than I would love you.
Damn.
Shit.
And then and then it's like so dark. And then she goes, it's a very emotional thing between me and John Cena, but you did fuck me better.
Yeah.
That's his win.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that.
That's always the thing, is just like, you got a bigger dick.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So that's literally a thing in How I Met Your Mother, is that thing where she's like, you're bigger, and it just cuts. He's like, I win.
Yeah, definitely. It's like, and that's where you can start Mike kind of going, like, still having the, you know, whatever, like, this fucking sad sack shit, but it's just like, but this got fucked. Like, and it's that's funny. Like, funny that he, and now, you know, and if you still keep Liz in, so, and then you can have John Cena as like the boyfriend who shows up sometimes, but if Liz is still in the show, that's a no running joke going, oh yeah, but Mike fucks better than John Cena.
So there are two changes here to the entire DNA of the show. One thing I want to have as well is that, like, if
this is going to be a running continuity thing.
Yeah,
right?
it's a running. I'm keeping notes of it all. If Mike is Muslim as well, but, like, is cool with this eventually, and he's, like, got the win that he fucks better, I think it would be good if his story kind of dovetailed where, like, he always accepted status quo as a homosexual. And just, like, he knew anyway and was just like, I was just waiting for you to be ready. So, like, that's one thing that Mike gets to do. Two, John Cena is now part of the recurring cast of Off Center. And he plays Liz's boyfriend.
I like that a lot.
Liz can have her own independent stories and have agency and mix with the cast. But also, if we want to do a couple story, instead of John it being Cena's Liz like and her... Mike, it's Liz and John Cena.
Yeah, because we've said, like, Liz can be more like the Elaine. So maybe John Cena is like the putty.
The only problem is now that with that is, like, we broke up Liz and Mike in our very first episode we did with Laura.
Yeah.
Being like, Liz needs agency. And then the second episode, we're like, well, Liz has a new boyfriend now.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But she still gets to be her own
character.
Maybe
it's like a three episode arc.
But maybe it could be like a casual thing.
Yeah. I mean,
because the thing is, like, the way it is now, she's a member of the main cast that feels like a semi used guest star. Whereas in this case, based on we've given her storylines to deal with, she is a main member of the cast who can interact with guest stars.
And this is kind of what the show is now in this writer's room, off center, kind of breaking stereotypes. The woman character in a lot of these sitcoms in this time was very much like, boys, don't do that. And it's like, oh, I'm seeing a new guy, I hope he likes me. Like, this chick who, in the show now, like,
this
Liz now.
Bitch.
I did not say that. I said this chick is now singing dude.
This chicky babe.
Yeah.
She's
like, on the dating scene.
She's fucking singing dude.
Especially if she kind of like is like the emotional connection, and then you kind of like walk it back a little and make it like that, like he's kind of like devoted to her and she's kind of like, yeah, it's casual.
Yeah. And like, exactly. Like, you could play around with, like, you know, her stories don't have to be like, oh, John Cena wants me to do this, or John Cena is like, she's just doing something, and then you can have John Cena like simping for her, which is funny. Like, that's always
that's
a funny thing when it's like
it's
this huge,
great, like, visual almost. Yeah, it's like, be like, but you said you'd be home by 9:30. Yeah. But he's
also
like,
as a guest star, you can fuck him off at any moment.
Exactly. And, exactly, and like that's like two episodes. Like, she can go, I'm emotionally bonded to this guy, and then like exactly two episodes they go, it's kind of he's gone a bit too emotional. I liked him because he wasn't like, and then now it's like he's too full on, and I don't
I think that's
anymore.
Great. So in two episodes we've broken up Mike and Liz, and Liz is sad fucking people. Mike's a proud Muslim who still is accepting of status quo is just gay. Ewan has
Chow to the front.
Chow is at the front, and Ewan also has like confronted his internalized homophobia and learned to support his friend while still being a very funny show.
We need some Muslim writers in this room.
Oh, I got news for you guys. I converted last week. Did I not tell you?
This is dangerous territory to
tread. Muslim.
Look,
you got anything to plug, Dave?
Not anymore. I actually wanted to.
That's not offensive, sir. I can joke about being a Muslim. No, it's a religion, not an ethnicity.
Of course,
I'm fine.
Of course you can, but should you?
I mean, it's not very funny.
No, I mean, it's fine. It's
I'm not too worried. Come
that,
cancel me.
About,
yeah, that's the end of the show.
We've
got two episodes under our belt. I love that. Dad, you got anything to plug,
Thanks
man?
For coming by.
No, of course, thank you for having me. Look, I'll plug my Instagram, Twitter, David A. Woodhead on both of them.
Yes.
Listen to Triple J.
No, yeah, listen. I mean, it always feels weird when it's like, I did.
Putting out a message to 100 of people.
I did a podcast. I've done. I don't know when it will. What the schedules are there, but Beck and
Alex's friends of the show.
Friends of the show, and also
mostly just our friends.
Lauren and
best friend of the show.
Lauren and Beck.
Maybe your best friend of the show.
Yeah, my best friend of the show. Like, Beck Charles.
Well, my best friend of the show is Jamie Kirk. So
my best friend's on the show.
Can we not talk about best friends right now?
Pretty much. I mean, you didn't have to. You could just let me finish my plug.
Yeah, please do.
But pretty much like when I've done their podcast, like they go like, oh, and also listen to Triple J. I'm like, yeah, well, you're either listening or you're not.
Yeah,
I'm on at 12 to 3 if you want to listen, but I don't think this is going to change.
If you know, you know.
My wife listens to you.
Oh, that's cool.
It makes me so angry. And yeah, it's a racial thing.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Ah, man, that's funny.
Oh, no. Anything else to pluck?
Actually, that kind of reminded me of this. I got drinks with my cousin from my wife's side of the family.
Mm.
Like, and she goes like, so she's old. She's like 40, and she goes like, I was on a plane once, and I saw these like an indigenous netball team get on, and they all had iPads, and they're watching black comedy, and they were all talking about David, the cute one, and I felt like going up and saying, oh, that's my cousin. But I didn't want to look. But they, I didn't think they'd believe me. I'm like,
funny.
I mean, like, kind of, because it's just like she's a very white looking woman. Like, she's like, you know, 40. She looks white as fuck. and it would be weird to go black comedy sisters. Hey, my titters. He's my cousin boy. Like, it would be so fucking. But
that's hilarious.
But I was also like, come on, well. I didn't know, try and give me some poozy.
P-U-S-S-Y.
E-Y.
But yeah, no, that's all I got to plug.
Funny.
Here's my Instagram, Twitter, and some poozy. No, that's... Imagine going to a podcast and go, pretty much I'm just trying to fuck whoever's listening, so...
Yeah, I'm looking at 120 episodes of...
If you're listening to this on the day it comes out, I think I'm doing Argyle comedy tonight.
I don't know why you're laughing when you say that. It's a respectable gig.
I just don't know if it's accurate or not. It might be. But also, if you listened to the last episode and then looked in the weekend's paper for me, because I said I was going to be in that weekend's paper, I wasn't there. You're not crazy.
When my friends fail.
I just like how happy you were.
No.
That.
I'm going to be in the paper. I just don't know when.
Yeah, well, I was going to be on at the Comedy Store, but here we are.
No.
I was going on a honeymoon.
Yeah.
The photo shoot is still... tomorrow night at Giant Dwarf.
Yeah.
But apparently, like, because Alex J and I, who I'm doing it with, were like, hey, are they interviewing us or whatever? And they're like, oh, like, not till later.
Yeah, when I did, I think often they do the photos and the interview separately.
Yeah, it's probably going to be an email job, which is great because I can be much more pithy that way. But yeah, doing that.
That is true. You do use too many words when you talk.
I also use too many words when I type.
Well, then why'd you say pithy?
Because it was a good word to use.
Oh, okay. You love words, dude.
Yeah, I know.
You use so many of them.
You fucking use so many words.
You use so many words, dude. How many books have you fucking read? Heaps, I bet. You idiot. You fucking idiot.
Dumb.
Wasting your time reading books when you could be watching fucking TV.
Genuinely, the amount of books you may think I have read in this joke is so much fewer than that.
No, neither of us can read.
Not well. But... yeah, follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Rose Alice Piper. Follow the podcast where we'll just tell your mother we ate it on Facebook, where we ate it all on Twitter, we ate it all podcast on Instagram. Look for a photo of us with the beautiful David Woodhead.
Hey, Sings, you can go.
I'm at Jamie Kirk Comedy on Twitter and at Jamie Kirk Comedy on Instagram, I believe.
Mm.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm getting a haircut next week, according to my calendar. I'm also doing Giant Comedy on the 23rd of July and the Magic Mike on the 29th of July. Oh. And Everly Comedy's back every Sunday.
Comedy's on.
Comedy's on.
Yeah, go to Everly.
I think I might be doing the same. Giant Dwarf.
Ooh, it's, you're doing Giant Dwarf too, huh?
Oh, man, that's we'll joke give last you week. The
yeah.
email.
I emailed him today.
Oh, yeah, because Laura's doing it as well.
Wait, no, I'm not. I'm doing. They gave me some dates. So I think we might do the 30th instead.
All right.
And you get a choice when you're on Triple J.
No, wait, you got Triple J?
Yeah, do you listen? Your wife you ask your wife for the details.
Yeah. I think I might have got a couple of dates in. I was just like, I'll do the soonest one that I can, please. I want to do comedy.
So, Dave, we end all our episodes by saying to the next ep.
It's a reference to American Pie when they say to the next step.
So we're going to do it now. To the next step.
To the next step.
To the next step.
If any of your listeners want to fuck me.
how many times has that been the end of the episode now?
114.
Mm.